Letter to the Galatians, chapter 3. And we're going to read from verse 1 to verse 14. Verse 1 to verse 14. I've entitled my message, Stop It. Stop It. This is what it reads in Galatians chapter 3. You foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ, was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law, or believing what you heard? Are you so foolish, after beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? Have you experienced so much in vain? If it really was in vain, so again, I ask you, does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law, or by believing, or by your believing what you heard? And so also Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw, let me say that again, Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announced the gospel in advance to Abraham. Listen to this. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. As it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Clearly no one who relies on the law is justified before God, because the righteous will live by faith. Amen. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, it says the person who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Amen. I love that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Amen. See, last week we looked at four things from the letter to the Galatians. We looked at, number one, being careful who we listen to, because there are wolves in sheep's clothing, okay? And secondly, we looked at the importance of always testing what we hear. We have to test the prophecy, we have to test the word, we have to do our study, and we have to really seek the Lord. Is this really from you, God? Thirdly, we looked at the importance of pleasing God, that pleasing God should be our main priority. Amen. And fourthly, we looked at the importance of being faithful to the gospel that God has entrusted us with. See, God has entrusted each and every one of us with His gospel. Today we are going to carry on with this letter again, and we're going to go from verse 1. In verse 1 it says, you foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. You know, how we read and how we interpret the Bible actually determines how we live and how we see the world. Our interpretation of the word, our understanding of the word, determines how we see the world in terms of how we live our lives as well. You see, Paul, when he's writing this, we can see from his writing, he writes, you foolish Galatians. So Paul is not taking this matter lightly. You know, in one translation he says, oh dear idiots of Galatia, surely you can't be so idiotic. See, Paul could have said, oh, it's nothing, don't worry, you know, the grace of God is here. Let's just sit down, let's just talk about it. He's not saying that, but he says, you foolish Galatians. In other words, you foolish believers, what's happened to you? Okay, and in a sense, what Paul's trying to do here is Paul's trying to get their attention. Yeah. See, Paul's using the word he's using because he wants their attention. Yeah. Now he said, you foolish Galatians, now Paul has their attention, okay? And he says, don't you remember what the Lord has done for you? Amen. Don't you remember what the Lord has done for you? He did not give you the grace so that you can go back to the law. He did not pull you out of the bondage so that you can go back to the bondage. He did not set you free from that lifestyle so that you can go back to that lifestyle again. He set you free because He wants you to live an abundant life. That's how Paul starts. You foolish Galatians, don't you remember why you were saved? Don't you remember why Jesus Christ died for you? And in verse 2 to 5, he says, I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish after beginning by means of the Spirit? Are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? Have you experienced so much in vain? Paul is frustrated. He's frustrated at the fact that they were running the race so well, and all of a sudden now they've hit the wall and something's happened to them, and now it's like, did you experience and did you go through all that you go through in vain? And Paul says, so I ask again, does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law or by believing, by your believing what you heard? You see, in this, Paul asked them six questions from verse 1 to verse 5. The first question Paul asks them is this: who bewitched you? In other words, who was the one who made you go on a different route and do the things that is absolutely not the gospel? And secondly, Paul asks them this question: did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the message of grace and faith? And third question, Paul's like really blunt. He's like, are you so foolish? Are you foolish? He repeats himself again. And fourthly, he asks, having begun in the Spirit, why are you ending in flesh? Why are you ending in flesh? And fifthly, he says, have you suffered so much in vain? And lastly, did God distribute the powerful Spirit to and through them by law's work or by hearing and faith? Yeah. You see, Paul is taking them through this cycle of questions just to remind them of this one very thing, this one simple thing, that they were saved by grace. Amen. They were saved by grace. Yeah. And so Paul's concern is this: you were saved by grace, so why are you going back to the flesh? You started in the Spirit and now are going back to the flesh. Paul's saying to them, you were justified by faith, not by works. You were justified by faith, and now why are you trying to stay saved by works? Verse 6 to 9, so also Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw, I love this, Scripture foresaw, in other words, God saw, Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. Amen. Gospel is all inclusive. And announced that the gospel in advance, okay, to Abraham, all nations will be blessed. In other words, all nations will be redeemed through you. The promises, okay. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. So Paul brings another three arguments in here. Alright. First one, he says, Abraham was justified by faith, not by law. Abraham was justified by faith, not by law. Secondly, he says, Gentiles are also God's children. Not just you Jews, but Gentiles are also God's children. They have the same promises which you have. Okay. And thirdly, he says, now because of this, we are justified by faith, not by works. See, Abraham heard, it says in the scripture, Abraham heard God and believed God. See, he believed because he heard. Abraham heard and believed God because he believed. And because he believed, he's known as a righteous man. Yeah. It was credited to him as righteousness. Yeah. And I love this. We are not righteous because of what we do. Paul's telling them, listen, church, we are not righteous because of what we do. I am not righteous because of what I do, but because of what Jesus did for us. Paul makes it so simple and so clear, but he's very clever in his arguments. He brings all this argument. He's like, listen, you like clever arguments, I'm going to give you clever arguments. Paul brings all his clever arguments, then he drops this simple truth. We are saved because of Jesus. We are redeemed because of Jesus. And if we are not careful, we will fall back to this trap of flesh worship, that we will forget what true worship is all about. See, I love what Jesus said to the Samaritan woman at the well. A time is coming and the time is now when true worshippers will worship in flesh. No. He says in spirit and in truth. See, the spirit is truth and the truth is the spirit. So time is coming and the time is now when people will worship in truth, knowing who the truth, true God is, and in spirit, being open to the Spirit of God. You see, righteousness is actually trusting in God and giving God all the glory. But we have to be very careful. Sometimes in that word righteousness, the word self comes, and then that righteousness becomes self-righteousness. See, and what are some of the signs of self-righteousness? Listen to this. What are some of the signs of self-righteousness? Self-righteous people always parade and list their good works. Let me say this again. Self-righteous people always parade and list their good works. I've done this. I've done that. Always parade their good works. Self-righteous people love the approval and praises of people. Self-righteous people always think of themselves as important. It becomes about them rather than about God. See, but those who trust in God, those who understand righteousness of God, they do not boast in self, but they boast in God. All of their doings, it becomes about God. This is not me, but this is God. That becomes their statement. They don't live for the approval of man, but they live for the glory of God. Hallelujah. They live for the glory of God. You see, Paul did not live for the approval of people. Paul had haters everywhere he went. He'd go from town to town, villages to villages, and we see that he had loads of followers. We see that he had loads of people who wanted to hear him, who wanted to see what was happening. The same way we see Jesus going from town to town, village to village, and Jesus had loads of haters too. Jesus wasn't a famous person. But Jesus was very faithful to the call that God had put in him, even though he was God himself. So Jesus, he said, I did not come to be served, but I came to serve. That's Jesus. Son of God, I did not come to be served. I did not come to seek the approval of people, but I came to heal the broken. I came to be amongst the marginalized to show them the true way to God. Because all these so-called leaders were actually so full of themselves that they forgot that it was all about serving rather than being served. And this is a personal challenge to me as well, because we have to remind ourselves that we're here to serve God. We are here to serve the community. Amen. We are here to do God's work. Amen. See, righteous people humble themselves. Humble themselves. What's true humility? True humility is knowing your strength, yet staying humble. Okay? True humility does not mean weak. True humility does not mean being pushed down. True humility means even though you know everything, you let go of all of that and you make yourself available to the service to God. Amen. True humility is actually forgetting about your title, forgetting about your position, forgetting about everything and making yourself available. Amen. And Jesus displayed true humility. And Paul is now challenging the people in that congregation. Listen, you want to understand humility? You want to understand righteousness? This is true righteousness. It is not about you. No. Paul's very blunt in his writing, but Paul's saying, you want to understand true meekness? It's not about you. No. You want to know about true serving? It is not about you. No. You want to know about true righteousness? It is not about you. You want to know true righteousness? It is all about Jesus. Amen. It is all about Jesus. And in humility, Christ can shine through us. Amen. Humility is me disappearing and Christ appearing. Humility is what John the Baptist said. I must decrease so that Christ can increase, or Christ must increase in me. Amen. That's true humility. Verse 10 to verse 14, it says, for all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. As it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Clearly no one relies on the law is justified before God, because righteousness will live by faith. This is Paul. Clearly no one who relies on the law is justified before God. Okay. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, it says the person who does these things will live by them. I love this. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hung on a tree. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Amen. The promise of the Spirit is now been made available to you and to me. Amen. And now we get to the heart of this letter. All right, in verse 10, Paul uses a very well-known scripture, which is also found in Deuteronomy, actually. Chapter 27, verse 26. Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 26. And it says in there, cursed is anyone who does not uphold the words of this law by carrying them out. Paul uses this in his letter. Cursed is anyone who does not uphold the words of this law by carrying them out. In other words, if we read this, it says, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of law. If this was still the case, all of us, we're still cursed. We'll still be cursed. You know, because it says in the scripture, cursed is everyone or anyone who does not follow the law. Do we follow the law all the time? We don't. So if that was the case, we'd all still be cursed. But who's thankful to Jesus? Who's grateful to Jesus. Amen. I love this now. Verse 13 and verse 14. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Church, amen. He redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Amen. By becoming a curse for us. You know, culturally speaking, when Jesus was hung on the cross, all the passers-by looked at him. And those who didn't know the context of who Jesus was or why he was there looked at him with disgust and shouted at him, this man's cursed. Surely he did something, and that's why he's on that tree. He's on that cross. You know, The passers-by thought he was there because of his curse. But they did not realize he was there because of their curse. People thought he was there because of his wrongdoing, but they didn't realize he was there because of their wrongdoing. Because of their wrongdoing. You see, there was a divine exchange that took place that day. I love this. The divine exchange. He was on that cross. Everybody looked at him and they spat at him. Everybody looked at him. They were like, oh, this man's cursed. This man's horrible. He's a thief. He's a liar. He's a cheat. But they did not realize that he was there for us. He did not realize, they did not realize that he was there for them. It was a beautiful exchange that was happening on that day on the cross. And on that day, and from that day, grace and mercy is shown to all humanity now. Grace and mercy is now available to each and every one of us, for each and every one of us. So what is the difference between grace and mercy? What is the difference between grace and mercy? You see, grace is getting something we don't deserve. Grace is getting something we don't deserve. See, if I was to look back and all the things that I've done in the past, and the fact that I'm stood here this afternoon doing what I'm doing, I don't deserve this. But grace said, you deserve it. Grace is getting something you don't deserve. See, what I have, the blessings God's given me, I'm like, I don't deserve this, but God gave it to me. That's grace. And what is mercy? Mercy is not getting what we do deserve. Mercy is not getting what we do deserve. The things we've done in the past, the consequences. See, what I've done in the past, and if I was to base my actions and the judgments on my own hands, I'd think, oh, I shouldn't be here. I should be either in a mess. I should be either, you know, beating myself up. And mercy is, listen, you deserved this, but I'm not going to give you that. You deserve pain. You deserve hatred. You deserve this, but I'm not going to give you that. I'm going to take that away from you. That's mercy. See, things we've done in the past makes us feel we don't deserve a second chance. Yet grace says you deserve a second chance. And third and fourth. See, our conscience makes us think we don't deserve forgiveness. But grace says you deserve forgiveness.
Amen.
See, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Paul's saying to the church in Galatia, you are no longer cursed. Amen. You are blessed. You are no longer a slave to your past. You are free from your past. You are no longer who you used to be. You are a new creation. And that is the same message to the church today. We are no longer a slave to our past. We are free from our past, amen? We are free from our past. Grace and mercy means we are free from our past. And now it is available for you and for me. It is available to all humanity, not because of what we've done, not because of what we can do, but all because of what Jesus did for us on that cross. See, people might have called you so-and-so names in the past. But when you came to Christ, you are a new creation.
Amen.
Amen. You are a new creation. You see, you don't have to work for it. You don't have to pay for it. So just stop it. Stop striving. Amen. Stop striving. That's what Paul's saying to the church. Stop striving. Why are you striving? You started in the Spirit. Now you're going back to the flesh. You got saved because of the Spirit. You got saved because of grace. Now you're trying to stay saved, relying on the flesh. That's what Paul's saying. You foolish Galatians, who cut in between? Who bewitched you? Stop trying so hard. Stop trying so hard. Stop trying so hard. It has been paid in full for you and for me. It's been fully worked out for us. It has been fully redeemed for us. By the Messiah, by the Savior, by the Redeemer. He was sinless, yet He became sin for us. He was blameless, yet He became a curse for us. He did no wrongs, yet He took all of our wrongdoings with Him on the cross. He is the Son of God, the light of the world, Alpha and Omega, Prince of Peace, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. His name is Jesus, our Savior, our Healer, our Redeemer, our Deliverer. His name is Jesus, amen. His name is Jesus. It's not because of us. It's not because of what we've done, but it's all because of Jesus. We have received the Spirit, not because we are worthy of it, but because Jesus made us worthy of it. Amen. We received the Spirit not because of the law, but because of the Spirit. Because of Jesus. We received the healing not because of the law, but because of Jesus. We are redeemed from the curse, not because of the law, but because of Jesus. Because of
Jesus.
We are saved not because of the law, but because of
Jesus.
And that's what Paul's saying to the church. Stop striving, just stop it. Don't you get it? And that same message applies to us today. It's all because of Jesus. It will always be because of Jesus. It has always been because of Jesus. You know, we sing that hymn. Jesus paid it all. Not just some. Jesus paid some. No. Jesus paid it all. Every pinpoint of the past you can think of, He has paid it all.
Amen.
Don't carry that with you into the present.
No.
And because He's paid it all to Him I owe. Paul understands this. And I understand this. I am who I am because of Jesus.
Amen.
And I owe Him everything. He owes me nothing. Christ owes me nothing. He's given me all, everything. And I owe Him everything. I owe Him my life. I owe Him my everything. You know, I'm just a grateful receiver of the grace and mercy of God. I am just so grateful that I get to do what I get to do. All because of Jesus. You know, sin had left a crimson stain in each and every one of his lives. Sin had left a permanent stain, the enemy thought. And he planted that seed in our heads thinking it's a permanent stain. But do you know what Jesus did? It's a temporary stain. Let's wash it away. He washed it white as snow. Amen. He washed it white as snow. Grace. Getting something we don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what we do deserve.
Yeah.
When I read this, it just sets me free every time from myself. You know, because it's just sometimes we fall into this pattern of doing things in our flesh rather than understanding that it's all been done. And now all we have to do is trust and obey and just walk.
Yeah.
You know, and when I read verse 13, this sets me free. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us.
Mm-hmm.
Christ redeemed Daniel.
Yeah.
Christ redeemed David. Christ redeemed Ava, Rewards, Joan, Grace, Andrew, each and every one of us. Christ redeemed us from the bondage.
Mm-hmm.
We are no longer slaves. Amen. We are set free. We are no longer slaves of our past or to our past. We are free in the name of Jesus. Just hold on to this. It's all because of Jesus. It will always be because of Jesus. It has always been because of Jesus. Your past, your present, and your future. Run with Jesus, knowing that He has paid it all for you and for me. I mean, if that's not liberating, I don't know what is. That's the most liberating truth one can ever receive. He's paid it all. He's paid it all. Church, let's be free. Amen. Be free from yourself. Stop striving. Just be free. Stop striving. Don't try too hard. It's been done for you. Just be free and worship and receive. And in receiving, He gives you the strength to carry on. Amen. To carry on. Amen. You've heard it being said already. You know, the best thing we can do for ourselves is to be in His presence and just receive from Him. Receive from Him in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you guys in Jesus' name. Amen.